It's Lori and Julia here on MyTalk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. We're streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. You can also catch us on the MyTalk app. Any way that you find us, we're just happy that you're here. Lori's here. Julia is out. Rocco is out. I'm Holly. And filling in for Julia today.
It's for my brand.
Yeah.
Furthered my career farther than I have. So,
for Brittany, we had to go like PG and substitute witch because apparently that, you know, even though it's in the song and it's from Brittany's.
I know.
Brittany's mouth. It's a lyric. You know, I'm not going to cry censorship, but whatever. Welcome to the program. I'm always happy to do the show with you and see your smiley face. And thanks for filling in for me when I was on vacay. Now Julia's on a vacay.
I know.
Holly went on a vacay. It was just like, I don't know. It really felt like the most needed vacation. And I guess it was because we haven't taken one.
You guys needed it. You guys needed it for sure.
But anyone who has, I mean, it's been like a year pretty much for everybody.
Yeah, I know. And you should take it where you can. It's like the vaccines. Take them where you can get them, and vacations. Yes. Take them where anything that starts with a V. Take it where you can get it.
Okay, this story just made Casey and I laugh this morning.
Oh,
so
fun.
For whatever reason, I got up like at 6:15, which in our house, five, 4:30 to 7 is Casey's time.
Is that his time to roam around the house?
Be by making the coffee, watching his morning programs, having constitutional visits, you know, to the laboratory.
And does he go to a different side of the house?
No, just sits downstairs.
Yeah, that's
and whenever I get up early, he always just. But this morning he looks at me and he goes, "Hey, Joey Heatherton." Because I cut off all my hair.
I know. Oh, that's
Casey.
So cute.
Sock it to me, honey.
I know it. But so I was, I really read everything in the paper. I was like really reading every article. And I remember in December when this story went viral about in Scotland, how they name their entire snowplow fleet.
Oh, yeah.
And they call their trucks Gritties, and they have Gritney Spears and Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. And so it led MnDOT to having a contest here.
Okay.
About what should the snowplow names be.
I love this.
Okay. And this beat it by quite a bit. The number one winner in the name snowplow. They got 22,000 ideas.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, right? And they winnowed it down to 50.
And how many are we naming right now? Just one? Are we doing like one a year kind of thing?
Well, the one that got the most votes, and they said only one plow in the metro area will bear the name. Now, that right there is so Minnesotan.
Yes.
They've got all these great names. They could just name them all.
I know.
But we're going to be Minnesota and just dollop out a name every year.
I know.
I like the excessive. Let's like be like scattered. Name them all, but the one that won is Plowy McPlowface.
Okay, that's amazing.
Okay,
Plowy McPlowface,
and that got like 63,000 votes, and like 122,000 people voted.
I mean,
that's a lot. Here's some of the other ones. Oop or Ope, you know, OP. So just gonna plow right past ya.
That's cute.
Duck, duck, orange truck. Plow Bunyan.
Oh, that's
good. That's good. Snowby Wan Kenobi.
Oh, that. See, I want that one.
I love that one. And F. Salt Fitzgerald.
Nice.
Come on now. Listen, Darth Blader. And in a nod to Prince, the truck formerly known as Plow.
So that's.
I like that one.
Okay, we have to use these.
Aren't
we can't
these
throw
good?
These out.
What a fun contest.
Plowy McPlowface. That is probably my favorite out of all
good.
Of them.
It is good, yeah. So, yeah, that's just a fun little contest. And then I don't want to be shady or anything here, but, someone did something fun for Julia and I's show on social media, which has just made me laugh so much. You know what I'm talking about, Holly?
Are you talking about the how do you say you're a LoJ fan by not saying LoJ?
Yes. Yes.
That's a big thing online. That's a big meme right now with all sorts of things.
Oh, it is? Yeah. They didn't just do it for us?
No.
Oh, they did it for all the shows?
Well, they have been doing it. I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
And were we the last, probably the last one? That's more.
No, no, you're second to last, I think. I don't think they've done the morning show yet, so don't feel totally left out.
Well, I just thought, I didn't even have any idea that it was.
It's really cute. I went and looked it up. Yeah.
Tell us you're a LoJ listener without actually telling us. And you know what? People really know us. They really, really know us. Orgasmic Hayes, The Poof. Ian Punnett, Julia. Of course, Nipples. That's so random.
It's just random.
Let Me Hollywood Speak That. State Fair, Summer Camp, SWAS. Notable Obituaries. Why?
Salad Gate.
Across the Pond. Body you do perks. Always say that.
Yeah, you guys do.
World's Oldest Teenager. Pant bouquets. I coined that.
I love
what
that.
What is a pant bouquet?
Yeah. Oh.
Let me tell you how awful Justin Timberlake is.
Yes!
Donna Mills, Love is the Law, their cheek implant. Let me tell you about Natalie Wood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going to be able to... Sex Monday, thank you. And yeah, that's Sexual Real Estate.
Yep.
Vacation Boobs. I mean, that came up at bowling last night. I made a confession to the team that I had vacation and pandemic boobs. I haven't worn a bra.
Oh, yeah.
In a year since I was in Las Vegas a year ago and probably had on like a fun nightclub top that just wanted to wear, if nothing else, for a little extra warmth.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have pandemic and vacation boobs.
It's bad.
They're I don't know. I'll ever be able to wear a bra again.
I know it's bad. I'm wearing a little kid's version of a bra now. Cause that's like the closest I can get to like putting on a full bra.
Yeah. Well, Holly and I are we're
itty bitty club members.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm definitely an active member of that as well.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at it. Like, no, you're not.
No, I mean,
when you lay down on your back, Brittany, do your boobs disappear?
Yeah. Almost. I mean, you guys, can I like, depends on where I'm at in life.
Oh, but anyway, yeah, people know us. People know.
Isn't it funny?
Us without even saying a thing.
There's so many things that you guys say that it's funny to see it written down, like biopic, like little things like that.
Oh, Julia, yeah. She really, like, she has to think about it for a second. Sometimes she phonetically writes out biopic.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have, yeah.
But I have heard other people call it a biopic.
I mean,
even though that's not.
No, it's not a thing.
But
it is a thing because you guys.
Holly, have you ever
thing.
In Hollywood ever heard anyone call the biopic a biopic?
No.
Okay.
No.
It hasn't spread there yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Not west of the Mississippi.
I always tell her. I said, just think about it. That it's a biography about a person. That's why bio comes first.
Yeah.
But she's like, that's the part I can never remember.
You know, it's funny. So, you know, I've been on a lot of different radio shows, and I would say this is the number one where people ask me if you guys, what you guys are really like.
Oh, what do you say?
Oh, I always say, especially during the pandemic, I was like, it's my favorite place to go ever. And I said, yes, I honestly think there's such a minimal difference to when we turn the mics off. Like, the only thing is, like, maybe we'll tell a little bit more secrets, but it's the exact same conversation. It's the exact same people. And that's
basically. Yeah. But with Julia with swear words. Although lately she's really been on a roll here at this very radio station. And feeling pretty bad about it. And I said, put on your middle child hat and deal with that situation.
I know. Right?
We've been on the air too long for this kind of business.
Yeah. You know?
Anyway, all right. Well, I'm glad that you're here.
Me too.
When we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of. I hope Plowy McPlowface doesn't have to make another appearance at all this year. Same for the truck formerly known as Plow. Although we will get one more There'll be some March snowstorm.
If we see it, I mean, I have a military background. Do we salute it? Do we stop? Do we let one tear go down our face?
You wave at it.
You just give it the old Jeremiah Johnson nod of the head.
Yeah.
The Robert Redford, good for you.
Should I look into the sun after I look at it? Yeah. Like, yes.
I know.
Or sunset, I mean.
I know. I've done so much nodding and head raising. You know, I've really gotten good at making eye connection in my mask. And I usually am always doing the up.
Between
the
Zoom?
Not up. So Zoom? Like, I see you, and I look at my eyes, I'm smiling at you. It makes you feel good.
No, hands down. I learned this from my, he's seven now, my nephew. I helped him with online school. I learned thumbs up will get you everywhere in life. Do more thumbs up. And you don't have to unmute yourself in a Zoom meeting. Just give a thumbs up. You're walking out of Costco. Somebody almost runs at you. Just thumbs up everybody. Now I do it constantly.
Yeah, but in like emojis, thumbs up online, wasn't it on The Housewives?
Oh, yeah.
They had a whole kerfuffle about that.
Yeah.
But I never heard of thumbs up being the bleep you. I always thought it was the middle finger.
That's true. They did say that on... But I think I think it was like she didn't explain herself too. It was like, I think you can tell when the thumbs up is meant.
That's when you know that the storyline is just, they needed extra flame when they start arguing about crap like that.
It's bad. And don't even.
Holly, have you ever heard of the thumbs up as being a bleep off sign to somebody in a. In a message?
Not in a message, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But you could tell it was a very passive-aggressive. Like, she said something she didn't like, and she just gave a thumbs up. You could feel it in the convo. And don't even get me started about New Jersey.
We won't get started on that. We'll get started with Chris Harrison. You know, he hadn't issued a statement. And, you know, when I left for my vacation, I left on a gossip high. All I knew was Harry and Meghan. We're having a baby, I knew that Chris Harrison was probably in trouble, but I was just going to check out of all gossip, all news and everything. And so I really left on a gossip high, you know, and then I come back and, found out all this stuff. And I couldn't believe that the one thing that Chris Harrison, because this all happened February 11th.
Wow.
After his extra interview with Rachel Lindsay, that he just had posted that. And I thought, why isn't he just going on GMA and just apologizing right away?
Yeah.
Because The Bachelor already had problems because it was aggressively white and had been, as long as I can remember, ever having a season. I mean, they really have been very much an archetype, and it's been very, very white. And I guess they figured that's what the audience researched, that what they could get at. Who knows what kind of stuff goes on behind the scenes with these casting decisions. But, you know, only 2 days ago did the executive producers at The Bachelor, just 2 days ago. So this has been going on since February 11th.
Yeah.
They took a strong stance about Rachel Lindsay, who was the first Black Bachelorette lawyer. She got a job on Extra. She's the one, she had this interview with Chris Harrison where she just asked him, how do you defend this Rachel Kirkconnell and all of her problematic ways? And Matt is a Black man and he's going to pick her. How, you know, she was like having an in-depth, because she's in-depth. She's a Bachelor Nation. Yeah. She got picked to be the Bachelorette.
Yeah, she's the perfect one to interview.
She's smart as hell, okay?
Totally. And
she just said to him, well, what would that have made me at this antebellum party when he was defending Rachel Kirkconnell being there, with a very condescending explanation. And then he gave another condescending, but I remember at the time thinking, her lawyer laser-like question, what would that have made me at the party? Which, you know, that she could even think to, like, just say something that specific and pointed. And then he just, you know, nothing. And I remember thinking, he's in trouble. So anyway, long story short, he has said nothing.
Yeah.
The Bachelor on Monday night, The Women Tells All, lost 1 million viewers in 1 week. That's why Chris Harrison's on. He's with Michael Strahan, who I was very impressed with the interview. Let's roll it up, Holly.
It was a mistake. I made a mistake.
This morning, embattled Bachelor host Chris Harrison sitting down with GMA exclusively in his first interview since stepping aside from the franchise.
Tonight, the journey begins again.
after facing backlash for defending frontrunner Rachel Kirkconnell, whose past racist social media posts show her liking a photo containing a Confederate flag and attending an Old South Plantation themed party in 2018. She has since apologized for those actions.
Thank you for holding me accountable. I'm so sorry.
Harrison made this case to Rachel Lindsay, the show's first black bachelorette.
It's not a good look.
No, it's not a good. Well, Rachel, is it a good look in 2018 or is it not a good look in 2021?
It's because not a big good difference. Look ever, because she's celebrating the Old South. If I went to that party, what would I represent at that party?
I think the biggest surprise for a lot of people is that this season was supposed to be a turning point for the show. We had the first black bachelor in the franchise's history after 2 decades of being on the air. It was a move that had already been criticized as too little, too late by quite a few people. But now it's being overshadowed by this controversy over racism, but not just by a contestant on the show, but also by its own host. And you are the face of the show. So a lot of people, and I'm wondering, why would you defend Rachel Kirkconnell?
I am an imperfect man. I made a mistake, and I own that. I believe that mistake doesn't reflect who I am or what I stand for. I am committed to the progress, not just for myself, also for the franchise.
My guess, these girls got dressed up and went to a party and had a great time. They were 18 years old. Now, does that make it okay? I don't know, Rachel, you tell me.
You said, quote, is it not a good look in 2018? Or is it not a good look in 2021? Because there's a big difference. So what is the difference? Or is there one?
There is not. Antebellum parties are not okay. Past, present,
cue card.
Future.
Cue card.
Knowing what that represents is unacceptable.
Anyway, Michael Strahan, he wasn't really buying it. He said, okay, that's the apology, but I feel like I got nothing more than surface response. It very much felt like he was reading cue cards, just like The Bachelor, in the same tone, the same inflection. I don't know. So he says that this interview isn't the last we're going to see of him, but we'll see what happens.
I know. It'll be interesting for
sure. Yeah, well, that's a good way of putting it, Brittany. It'll be interesting. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. This is the Low J Book Club, and we are really excited. We have a neighbor next door, Greta Kelly, who lives in Wisconsin. We've just read the very first book we've ever read by you, Greta, The Frozen Crown, which I know has two parts, and it's just so fantastic. So thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Greta, I got to be honest, this is not a genre that we usually read. We usually watch this, like, you know, Game of Thrones. And, you know, we love watching, you know, epic kind of fantasy stuff on the screen. But we've not read very much of this. And I knew nothing about, you know, your story or anything, but I absolutely loved this book. It was epic. Give people a setup of the story.
Yeah, so The Frozen Crown is about Askia, a princess turned general whose country has been invaded. And to save her people, she leaves her armies behind and sails to a foreign court to beg its emperor for aid. But a different kind of war awaits her at court, where one wrong word can mean the end of both her people and her life.
Oh, but I mean, you make it sound like kind of sterile, Greta. I mean, we've got sword fights, we've got battle scenes, we have sex, we have intrigue and backstabbing.
There's something for everybody.
It really, you know, I mean, I got to ask you if you have... Like, was this a hard book for you to get published, or because you've written other books, you already had a thing? I'm always curious about that.
Well, yeah, actually, this is my debut novel. So
it is
the first one that's been published. Yeah, but I had a couple of novels that I wrote before this that I just knew, you know, in my heart of hearts, this wasn't going to go anywhere. But when I came up with the idea for The Frozen Crown, I had a feeling it was something special, so I'm very happy it got to this point, and it's out in the world now.
And you know what? I read it and absolutely loved it, and then my 22-year-old nephew read it and loved it, and it's kind of like, you know, it's a fun book to be able to bond that you have that age range.
That's wonderful, yeah.
You know, because I could, I really, first of all, you wrote a great heroine. And I will say for anyone who's, you know, feels, sometimes people feel intimidated to read in the fantasy genre. When I first opened the book and I saw the map and all the countries and lands, and then I just thought, it's just like any historical fictional novel, like by Philippa Gregory, where she lays out all the families that she's going to talk about.
Right.
I'm just going to read this page by page and enjoy the ride that I'm about to go on. And that's exactly what it was.
Good, good. Yeah, you know, you try to start small, especially when it's a fantasy novel, to anchor the readers and not get people too overwhelmed.
Right.
I think a lot of people are a little bit intimidated by, especially when you think of a franchise like Game of Thrones, where there's 8 million characters.
Oh, I would never read that. I loved reading this book. I had no idea, honestly, where it was going to take me. I didn't know how much I would enjoy it, and that is 100%, you know, how you tell the story and everything. And then I had no idea that we would close the book and end on a cliffhanger, but the book is coming out in September. What happens?
Yes, because you don't have to wait too long.
I mean, you left us this like a cliffhanger, like a television series.
Yes, I'm a very cruel, cruel person like that.
I mean, I did. I just shut the book and I was like, I want to keep reading. So
well,
anyway,
hold on tight. It's only a few more months.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. And I mean, you have a beautiful cover on this book. I mean, I think your book is going to sell very well.
I certainly hope so. I feel very blessed. My publisher, Harper Voyager, has been just amazing. And I actually got that cover art blown up into poster size. So it's going to be in my office right now.
It's incredible.
It's
and
beautiful.
I don't know why, Greta, but our book club, which is Julia and I, we are both absolute snobs about covers. Like, I won't.
I think a lot of people are.
Why is that?
Well, I think you consume so much, even food, with your eyes first.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it is really, but you never, the author never, did the authors ever get a say in okay in what the representation of what your story is going to look like in that form?
So my process is actually pretty collaborative. When I first signed my contract with the publisher, they told me to set up a Pinterest account and start saving some of my favorite covers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the best homework I've ever been given.
Oh my gosh.
So it was pretty collaborative in that way, and I'm so happy with the result.
And then do you have a good agent who's shopping your story in Hollywood to Netflix or something?
Yes, I have an awesome agent, Stephanie Kim. She's wonderful from New Leaf Literary, and hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, someone will pick it up and you'll see it on Netflix in a couple of years.
I mean, those shows do very well. Like, I'm thinking of The Last Kingdom, which is on Netflix, about Uhtred of Bebbanburg and the Danes, sex. I mean, it's epic. Yeah. It's got violence, sex, intrigue, everything that your book has. I mean, it's that kind of a story. And how do we say our heroine's name? Askesia?
I pronounce it Askia.
Askia. Okay, Askia. She's terrific. Love her.
Oh, thank you. Me too. You know, I started writing her in 2016, before the Darkest Timeline began.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun writing a character like her who had to operate in a political arena but had absolutely no respect or time for anything regarding politics.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun getting her into trouble and trying to finagle ways to get her out of that trouble.
Greta, so you have a lot of things going on in this book at the same time. Now, when you're writing something like this, do you keep those storylines all in your head, or do you have to, I would imagine in my mind that you would have like a wall full of timelines and things going on. Is that something that you have to put, or is it just you know where this is going?
No, I definitely do have notebooks that have all the various plot threads, so I kind of know what's happening at the same time. I also plot pretty extensively before I start writing, so that helps me keep track of everything, so I kind of know what needs to happen next when I write.
Okay, and if you could have traveled anywhere for research for The Frozen Crown, I'm just curious, putting everything else aside, no, all expenses, no pandemic, where would you have gone to research The Frozen Crown? What would have been the country?
Well, I actually took a lot of inspiration from my travels when I studied abroad in college. I went to the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater, and they have a pretty good study abroad program there. So I lived in Germany, and I got to travel all through Eastern Europe as well as North Africa. Mm. And that experience was just invaluable. I took a lot of the inspiration for the empire that Askia sails to, is called Bashir, and a lot of that capital city came from traveling through Marrakesh and Morocco.
Yeah, that's
so I love traveling.
That's wonderful, because you really do paint the vivid picture of the two different kingdoms. Really, quite you can see it. It's very evocative how you write it and everything.
Oh, thank you. That's wonderful to hear.
Oh, Greta, we truly mean it. Now, we have to ask you, what was the last great book that you've had time to read?
So I just finished reading Hall of Smoke by H.M. Long. And it's funny you mentioned The Last Kingdom on Netflix, because Hall of Smoke definitely has that vibe. It's like a story about Vikings, but in an alternate world. It's wonderful.
Oh, really?
If you got the fantasy bug, you should check that one out next.
I mean, I know for sure the next fantasy book I know I am reading is the next, what is the next Frozen Crown going to be called?
It's going to be called The Seventh Queen.
The Seventh Queen, okay. And then that'll be it. So it's like, do you call that a duology?
That's right.
It is. Okay.
So it's a complete story all told in 1 year, which is pretty unusual for books especially, but I'm happy that it'll turn out that way.
Well, yeah. And then next September, when we talk to you again, then we can like give people ideas, because you could just buy the duology and read them all at once.
That's right.
And get satisfied. So, well, Greta, what was the first book that like got you into reading?
Oh, gosh. Well, for me, it was kind of difficult to read early on. I was a dyslexic kid, so it took me a long time to get into reading. But, you know, when the Lord of the Rings movies came out, I was maybe in middle school, and my dad made me read those books with him before I was allowed to go see the movies. And I think that is really a huge reason behind why I'm such an avid fantasy reader and writer now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is just like such an epically told story, right? You know,
yeah.
The inspiration. Well, I think that you've written just, you know, and really just an epic fantasy, and I enjoyed it so much. I can't even tell you. It was just a great book, and made me want to read more. And it did make me think I do like television shows in this genre and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to like, oh, there are other, because people do get into book habits where you just like always read mysteries, right? Or
yeah, you
whatever
get
it might be. But so it was really a nice, just a glorious change of pace, I guess. Yeah. And I like your bio.
Thank you.
That you have on your book jacket. So, Greta, how do people, like, if you do any book club things or appearances or just any way that you like that people can follow you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Greta K. Kelly, and you can also reach me through my website. There's a form to contact me about appearances or book club and questions. It's GretaKKelly.com.
Greta K. Kelly, I like that. That's very memorable. All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
Greta, we'll talk to you in September for The Seventh Queen. And thanks for the book recommendation, and thanks for being on our show. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye. We've got two copies of the book to give away. 651-641-1071. We will be right back. Holly, we've come up with a new job title, or another one of my
skill set
that I am. And Julia, you were here. I'm an author fluffer.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. She's getting
if
them ready.
If an author is kind of tentative or they're new or they're mm-hmm. not good at self-promotion or they're shy about whatever, and some people are, and some we're the author fluffer.
You're good.
Of course, the job description would be some kind of horniness.
Right, of course.
Of course. Of course.
On brand.
Very much so. It'll add it to her title on her little business cards. We'll put that.
And help it. Sex makes the world go round,
it really
and it
does.
Informs my worldview, obviously, quite a bit. My Lord. Okay, well, we don't usually do this, but I just thought these are worth telling people. Tonight, Stephen Colbert has scored. Jane Fonda and Kings of Leon are performing.
That's pretty epic.
And Kings of Leon, they're doing something. They're dropping an album in cryptocurrency on Friday. And I don't know what that means, but it costs $50 and you'll get a vinyl record. You'll probably get a chip. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Get like the digital.
An NFT.
Yes.
Oh.
So they're the first band to do this.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like a piece of art that's exclusive to them.
Well, correct. I don't know. It's $50 and you get NFT. And I just thought, is that a chip? Is it one of those things you plug into your computer? Is it a streaming?
It's all digital.
Okay.
So an NFT is like a digital token or a digital piece of art, and it's worth $50.
But you also get a vinyl album.
Yeah, so you do get some merch, some actual
a vinyl
tangible
album.
Thing.
That's like okay.
Yeah, I think like they hit both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, people who want a physical and then
a vinyl album.
A
too,
vinyl
specifically.
Too. Yeah, you got to go get a record player. Yeah. I do love those guys though.
Oh yeah, they're fun.
I saw Kings of Leon. It was after they. Not at First Avenue. That was probably the good show. Probably Rocco went to that show. I went when then they got like kind of big overnight, and then they played at the Target Center.
Oh, I bet it was fun.
It was so fun, and that they had so many great songs about sex too. Even Sex on Fire. I mean, it seemed like all their songs were about sex.
I mean,
so naturally, Lurie was there.
Well, I feel like Casey and I went on. We took his son and his. I can't remember if they were married or not, but the daughter-in-law, you know, we went on like a double date night. Obviously, they didn't have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's they're the type, it's kind of hard to imagine them in a small venue. So, yeah, I think it would be fun in both sides because I bet you they did it big in the big venue.
Oh, yeah. They were just, and they looked so cute. They just look good.
Yeah, yeah.
They just look good on stage. Those guys are hot.
Yeah, they sell sex in a couple different ways. For
sure. They're hot and beautiful.
Sex on Fire is such a
great song.
Like,
I know.
They had that on Rock Band, you know, when you used to play that Rock Band. And I love that song.
But now
song.
These guys, it's like, well, how many years since that? Well, you know, was that like 10 years ago?
That was 2008.
Okay, so it's a while ago and they have kids now and maybe there's been divorces and DWIs, maybe rehab.
Maybe.
Remarry. You know, I don't know. I don't keep up with the brothers. But anyway, that's Jane Fonda and Kings of Leon on Colbert. And then Kimmel has Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, he's great.
He gives good couch. And Jimmy Fallon has Sam Hugan, you know, from Outlander.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Jamie.
Yes,
Claire.
Yes.
Claire. Yeah. I just love him. I don't know what he's promoting if Outlander's coming back, but so there's some good...
People are stepping up their games.
Yeah, the late night stuff, people are getting good guests, and geez, I feel so out of it. Are any of us watching WandaVision? Is anyone in the loop of WandaVision?
A little bit. I'm behind because I watch randomly with when I watch my nephews, and so I force them to rewatch it. I know a little bit. It's
wait, don't tell me anything, Holly. Are you watching this?
I don't have Disney Plus, so
see,
no.
See that
I'm not.
Either, and I don't want Disney Plus, so therefore, I am just going to make a thing.
Yeah.
That I don't even want to know.
No, that's fine.
And, about WandaVision, because I have no intention of getting Disney Plus. And whenever I see the show, I just think, that looks so weird. It reminds me of being John Malkovich or something like that, which I have a light appetite for.
And the Avenger world, Marvel universe.
Light appetite for
that. Then stay out of this one, because this is like deep
cut. Is Thor in it?
No, he's not in it. Okay. And So, like, this is like, if you were watching Marvel and you thought to myself, this minuscule character, I need to know her backstory and everything about her and all these random little Easter eggs in it. This is no.
If it ever comes to another network, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. You know what everyone is watching, though, is WandaVision. That and the streaming things, only Firefly Lane is above it.
Yeah. People love WandaVision. No, it's
Firefly Lane has had 1.3 billion views.
Wow.
Bridgerton, 659 million as of last week.
So they've been running for a little bit.
WandaVision, 589. So it's like.
It'll beat it eventually here.
Well, maybe. I mean, how much appetite is there? It kind of feels like everybody is. The Crown is at 305 million, but you know, The Crown, that kind of. People will go back and forth to that.
Absolutely.
Like Bridgerton, binge.
Oh, yeah.
And then Longmire and Cobra Kai people were really watching.
Yeah, Cobra Kai has been a long burn because that's been around for such a long time.
Well, yeah. So, I hated that last season.
Yeah, I was like not it. That into it.
I didn't like it. I liked when he went to Japan.
I think
that was the best part when...
I think season one for that, the idea was so fun.
It totally, and then maybe it just was a blip, but it lost its way just a little tiny bit.
100% agree.
Yeah. And then what else? Oh, do we have time just for 1 second?
Of course.
I don't know.
I say of course as if I...
Okay. The Jen Shah, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Of course, I know Jen Shah.
So I don't know if you guys know that website, that blogger Tamara Tattles.
No.
Okay. She's kind of a good, she'll get a lot of Real Housewives tea.
Mm.
She got audio of Jen screaming at her people, you know, while they were getting ready to tape the reunion.
Yeah.
Let me just read a little. We can't play it because overuse of curse words ahead. So in the first audio, Jen could be heard screaming at her people to shut the bleep up. Get your bleep. I don't care. You have a bleep in place to lay your bleeping head because you're living in my house. You don't have to be disrespectful. How many bleeping hands do you need? It was all as people were getting her dressed for the reunion where I'm sorry. That ponytail would have hurt my head for filming for 12 hours.
It looked exhausting.
Everything, her dress.
Everything. Her makeup makes my eyes hurt. They're just heavy. But are you? No, of course she yelled at them.
That's her character. I know it.
That's not surprising to me.
So this is just who she is?
That's who she is. And guess what? Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, they know that.
They know that. All right. Well, I don't know that Julia will stick with the show if they continue with that behavior. She really has left every Housewife franchise because of the fights in the screens, which is exactly why I stay.
I'm with you on that.
All right. We'll be back.